and you'll understand better in just a minute. But suffice it to say right there for a minute, I want to preach to you about translation. When I say translation, most people think about the Bible. King James Bible, knew it. Not talking about that sort of translation. Not talking about the translation of language or the translation of language or Bibles or anything like that. But I want to talk to you about your life. And this week I've had some experiences that made me think about these things. It's good to sit down and study your Bible and come up with a message to preach or a Sunday school lesson to teach. But when God gives you a message through not only your Bible, but in a combination, not without your Bible, but a combination of your experience and things that you see in the Bible, well, then I believe that's usually going to be a timely message. And boy, we need a message like this one, not because I'm preaching it. You know that I don't have that much foolish pride, but just because it's from the Word of God and it's revealed by God. And so I really want you to get it this morning. And I probably won't be animated and jumping all over the place, but I want to give you some simple things. Would you close that door for me? I want to give you some simple things this morning for you to think about. And of course, as you know, this past week, one of our church members died. Brother Dane died on Thursday night. So at any rate, I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and then I want to talk about that a little bit and give you some things to think about that's very important. Verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. For by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And there in verse number 5, I want to preach out of that verse. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." What a wonderful thing that is. Amen. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus, you'll never see death. Right. This body is going to die regardless, unless the rapture takes place. Right. But barring the rapture, even if this body dies, the Bible says you won't see death. You won't taste of it. And so the Lord's made provision for that. And so he says Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, about pleasing God in a way that your life will actually translate into heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for these people that have come out this morning. And I pray with all my heart, O God, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would show us something out of your word this morning, that you would use these lips of clay, as a lot of B. Green used to say, use these lips of clay for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, magnify your word this morning, magnify your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right, now look in verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." I think I talked to you about this a few weeks ago. Any place you see in your Bible where it starts out with the word "now," that means you to pay attention. You get on a Navy ship and they're going to make an important announcement. They don't just say, "Hey, listen up." They say, "Now hear this. Now. Hear this." That's what they say. That gets your attention. They're not just announcing that the chow hall's open. "Now hear this." And your Bible does it all the way through. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Yeah. "Now we know that what's..." That's what the Bible goes through that. And you're to pay attention in times like that. The Lord Jesus Christ, he also used some catch words like that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Or he said, "Behold." And you're supposed to pay attention to those things. Now he says, "Now faith is..." And Lester Roloff used to say, "That's what we need, now faith."
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's right.
Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to have faith.
Yeah.
Don't wait till the mortgage is due, or don't wait till the roof is caving in to have faith. Right. Have faith right now.
Right.
Have faith right now. Hey. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did you see that word, evidence? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Some people say, well, you're supposed to have blind faith or take that leap of faith. Faith is not something you just wish for.
Right.
Now, hope and wish is two different words. We got a hope. Now, I trust in Christ because I got a hope. I don't. If it was just a wish, I wish Jesus was going to help me. That's nothing. He might and he might not.
Right.
But the fact that he will, that means you've got hope. You've got hope. And he's our only hope, by the way. The Bible says he's the blessed hope.
Amen.
Amen. The return of Christ. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Now, science is what you can see. I don't know if modern day scientists understand that or not. But when I was a boy and went to science class, they said you take a beaker and some chemicals and stuff and you do a test. You have a hypothesis. That's what you think might happen. Then you do the test and you see what will happen. You demonstrate it. And when you see it, that's science.
Right.
Now, evolution is not science because they can't see it.
Right.
All that stuff, I mean, that, I'm not going to get into that. I'll be here for all morning. But science is something that you can demonstrate and see, and then you get understanding from that. Well, faith is a different thing. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's a different kind of understanding. And the world really can't understand that. And a lot of Christians can't. Boy, I look at it sometimes and I don't understand it myself because I'm not rich in faith. I have faith. And the Lord said if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains and all kinds of stuff. I must not have mustard seed size faith. Mine's somewhere smaller than that because I ain't never moved no mountains. Amen. I've seen a few mountains where my old car was struggling to get up. And I was wishing I could move the mountain. That my car going to break down. I had to go 45 minutes to high school when I was a boy. And we had a long ways to go. I mean, that was a long ways to go. Everybody in the county went to one high school up on top of the mountain. And Mama bought me for my first car a little old Subaru. It wasn't worth rolling off the side of the mountain, but I took that thing to school, and boy, sometimes I wished I could move mountains because that car didn't hardly make it half the time. But at any rate, the Lord said if you had the faith of a little mustard seed, the size of a little mustard seed, you could move mountains. And that will be literal one day. That Jew going to need that in that tribulation. He's going to have to move mountains. You realize that can be symbolic as well as literal. But he said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a different kind of understanding than maybe scientific or philosophical understanding. Now, if you don't have a spiritual sense or you're not saved and on your way to heaven, that might be hard for you to understand. But, you know, some things that faith explains that maybe science can't understand. Now, I'll talk to you about Brother Dane. Brother Dane, of course, you know he passed away on Thursday night. But listen, I was on Wednesday morning when he had the heart attack. Miss Faye had called me at the house, and my wife had been sick for a week. And she was just getting over, and I was just going into what she had. All night, Tuesday night, had the symptoms coming on and getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And by Wednesday morning when I woke up, boy, I was hating life. And Miss Faye calls me and said, Brother Dane's had a heart attack and they need you to go to the hospital right now. And I said, Lord, have mercy. There ain't no way. They won't let me in the hospital for nothing. The way I am, the way I feel. And I said, there just ain't no way. They don't allow that. And so I was there in the bed and I said, well, Lord, I need your help here. And I fell back to sleep. And 45 minutes later, I woke up without a symptom one.
Amen.
And I wasn't coming out. I was going in. So when I woke up, I said, praise God.
Amen.
Got me a shower and got my clothes on. Went to the emergency room. They still had Brother Dane in the emergency room. And they couldn't sedate him. If they sedated him, then he would bottom out in his blood pressure. And they was afraid that would kill him. So he was laying there on the table. And the doctors was working on him. And they allowed me to go in the emergency room there. And they feared that he lost all of his ability to function in his brain. His eyes were open. They said, well, we're not sure that he really knows what's going on. And Brother Dane started having seizures on the table there. And he had seizures for a good 11 hours straight. They couldn't do nothing about that. And this was over at Camden County. They sent him down to Shands and he was still having those seizures. But you know, the doctor said he was not sedated, but he didn't know what was going on. But while he was having those seizures, I could see the fear in his eyes. They said, well, he don't know anything's going on. But I could see it in his face. Have you ever seen somebody that was afraid?
Yeah.
It, you don't have to say any words when somebody's afraid. That translates. Well, I stayed with Brother Dane for Wednesday and Thursday right up until the time that he died. And, you know, science thinks they got everything figured out. The neurologist come in and said, Brother Dane's not having any pain. All of his brain functions except for just the reflex is gone. He don't know anything. He's incapable of any response. He's incapable of any emotion. He's incapable of everything. There's nothing going on there. And matter of fact, we feel like that he's already gone and just his body. And in the back of my mind, I'm saying, this lady don't know her Bible. Oh, I'm glad I got a Bible that's not just written by a bunch of religious nuts. My Bible was written by the great physician.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as I say, I was there when Brother Dane physically died. And they said he didn't know anything or have any kind of feelings or nothing like that. But he took his last breath and I thought he was gone. But then about maybe 10 seconds later, the expression on his face changed. And the climate of the room changed. There was somebody, the Bible says, when you die, the angels will come gather you up and take you away.
Amen.
And for a man that was not, they said he was brain dead and he couldn't do it, but for a man that couldn't experience emotion, the biggest smile come across his face.
Praise the Lord.
And agony and pain of over 15 years of suffering, diabetes and heart attacks, turned into the most peaceful face you've ever seen in your life. And then, he was gone. He was gone. Now you say, explain that to me. Now see, that's a different kind of understanding right there than any science will ever be able to prove. And that comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let me tell you this. God created man. And God said, God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God created that man, gave him a perfect environment. And then the devil came along, and the devil presented them with another option. Me and Brother Louis was talking about this a while ago. God presented man with another option. God said, this is what I want you to do. And the devil said, well, I believe you could do this and get by with it. And they weighed their choices. And they chose to go against what God had told them to do. And so they made their choice. And sin was introduced into the world. As we learned in Sunday school this morning. She sinned. She gave it to Adam. And so sin is passed from person to person to person. The Bible said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every man that's born from Adam is born in sin.
Amen.
And now, thank God for the innocence of little babies and for children that don't have understanding. God's not going to impute their sin to them. Every little child that's ever been born and died, they're safe with the Lord this morning. There's no question about that. But man grows up and he becomes knowledgeable about sin. He becomes accountable for his sin. I just want to give you an overview of what I'm talking about this morning. So man sinned in the garden, and then a period of time passed and God gave Moses these tablets with these 10 commandments on it. Now that 10, that represents over 500 commandments that there actually are. And so God gave man this list of rules and regulations for him to live by. And man got busy right away trying to live by. Trying to just put on the religious outfits and made the religious sacrifices. And the only thing that proved for ages and ages and years, the only thing that proved is no amount of good works that you do can make you perfect. Man kept those commandments. And man, they did their best too anyway. They kept those commandments, and when they failed those commandments, they offered the sacrifices that God commanded them to do. But all that proved over the years was, no matter how many religious sacrifices you make, you're still a sinner. And God proved that to him because every year they had to come make a sin sacrifice. Why did they have to make a sin sacrifice every year? Because they were still sinners. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is, no matter how many Bibles you carry, and no matter how many church services you go to, which you ought to go to church, amen?
Amen.
That's where you learn about God. That's where you learn how to live a Christian life throughout the week. But you can go to church 3 times on Sunday and once every day. You're still going to be a sinner. You're still going to be lost.
Amen.
You're still going to do the thing. As long as you're wrapped in this flesh, you've got a problem.
Right.
This flesh wants what it wants. So God proved by giving us rules and regulations. What do they say rules are made for? That's almost a common thread throughout all languages and throughout all. Rules are made to be broken.
Right.
Ain't that right? Well, why did somebody come up with that statement? Because that's a fact. And God, listen, you think some of this stuff is just an old saying, but God proved that. God gave you rules to prove that you would break them. Now, the Bible says in Galatians, He said the law, those rules, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, after God had let man struggle with those rules and regulations for hundreds and hundreds of years until it could not be disputed that man could not keep those rules, Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, lived in favor with God and man, and kept every one of those perfectly. The Bible said, He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when God proved that there was nothing that we could do for ourselves, Jesus Christ came and lived, and lived that perfect sinlessness. What Adam should have done but could not do, Jesus Christ came and done perfectly for you and I. Now because, listen, when Adam sinned in the garden, it affected every one of you. Right? You're a sinner today. Not of your own doing, but you're a sinner because your daddy was a sinner.
Amen.
And his daddy was a sinner, and his daddy was a sinner, all the way back to Adam. You got your sinfulness because of what Adam done. Your sin may be different, your sin may be many, may be different, but you got it from Adam. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, what Jesus Christ done on the cross for you in the manner of righteousness is the very same as what Adam done for you in the manner of sin. Because Adam was sinful, you were sinful. But now because Christ is righteous, you can be righteous.
Amen.
It's what Christ done for you. So Jesus Christ died on the cross. That was your penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible said. You're here today and you sin, you're going to die because of it. You're going to die because of it. Now, there's a penalty after death. The Bible calls it the second death, and that's hell. That's the penalty for sin. The Bible said Jesus Christ died for our sins. Then He was buried. That's all of our destination. God made Adam out of the ground, so this body's got to go back to the ground. Sometimes you hear the religious folks say ashes to ashes and all that stuff, dust to dust. Well, that's true. Adam was made from the dust of the ground. This body's going back, and that's a penalty of sin. So Jesus Christ died for our penalty, and the destination, He went to our destination. Our penalty was death. Our destination was the grave. That's where Christ went.
Yeah.
And then, but on the third day, the Bible says that Jesus said, He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to bring it up.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to live forever, Jesus had to live forever, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus got up out of that grave on the third day.
Yeah.
And He said, now listen, I've already proved that you can't do nothing about doing right. I mean, I give you rules and regulations, you're going to break them. He's already proved that. But He lived those rules and regulations Himself. Paid our sin debt and said, now all you got to do, just like you got your sin from Adam, you can get your righteousness from me. God wearing a perfect robe of righteousness. If getting into heaven is wearing a perfect robe of righteousness, Jesus took His off and said, now if you believe in me and you believe in what I've done, I'll put my robe of righteousness on you, and that'll be your free ticket to ride. You can get in that way. Now that's a simple way of looking at it, but really and truly what it is when you say, Lord, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that what you've done for me on the cross was in my place, and you believe that. A lot of people use the word accept it, but whether you accept it or not, it's true. When you believe that and you put your faith in that, the Lord takes His robe of righteousness, the righteousness of his own Son and puts it on you, so that from now on you may be a hypocrite. You may come short in a lot of ways, but when God looks at you, what he sees is his Son.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah. That's right.
Now I got to think about, you know what I done last night? You'd never believe what I done last night. Something very therapeutic. I was up half the night sewing. You thought I was maybe praying or getting ready for Sunday morning. But last night I was actually sewing. I got a Marine Corps jacket and I got me some patches and I needed to put those on there. So I finished up the job last night because I'm going to a Marine Corps graduation next week and I want that jacket to be ready. So I was up late last night sewing that jacket and had plenty of time to think and stuff like that. Now, you know, I've got that jacket and it looks just right. There ain't another one like it on the face of the earth. I bought it when I bought my Harley Davidson motorcycle. Of course, I don't got that no more. But I bought that jacket and instead of Harley Davidson stuff all over it, now it's Marine Corps stuff all over it. And there ain't another one like it on the face of this planet. Now, you know, if I was to loan that jacket to another man and you was to be on Main Street and saw that from behind, or maybe saw him from a distance, you'd say, hey, that's Brother Mike down there.
Right.
Let me run that. You say, why? Because he's wearing my clothing. He's wearing something on the outside that really identifies me.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, God take his right. When you believed on Jesus Christ, God took the righteousness of Christ and put it over you. So that when God views you, he says, hey, that's my Son. He's not looking at you.
That's right.
If God was looking at you, he'd see every bad thing you ever done.
Yeah.
But the Bible said he took every bad thing you ever done and he buried him in the depths of the sea.
Right.
And the Bible said he took it and removed it as far as the east is from the west. That stuff is gone. Your old wickedness is gone once you believed on Christ.
Right.
Just took it away. So when the Lord sees you now, he's looking at the righteousness of your Son, of God's Son, and he's not looking at your righteousness at all. And that's a great blessing.
Amen.
That's a great blessing. So from the time you trust in Christ to the time you die, your salvation is settled. Your salvation is settled. But you know that if you get saved when you're 5, I got saved when I was 5 years old, and I don't know when I'm going to die, but today's my birthday. I'm 44 years old.
Amen.
I might make it to 45. I might make it to 46. And boy, I don't think about this often, but every time I look around, that gap's getting narrowed. The Bible says you've got 70 years.
Yeah.
And the Bible says if you're strong, you might make it to 80.
Yeah, right.
That's what the Bible says. Some people live 50 years. Some people live 5 years. Some people live 90 years. I got a good preacher friend of mine. He's 95. Oh, that's getting on up there. We don't know when we're going to die. But listen, I got saved when I was 5. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But my salvation was taken care of because Jesus done it for me. But listen, there's a whole lot of time. Hopefully there's a whole lot of time between the time you get saved and the time that you die. That's a lot of time to fill right there. Now what do you suppose we ought to be doing with our lives? Now, if you begin to preach hard against sin, folks say, oh, you're a legalist, or you're a bigot, or you trying to rule our lives. Because I can't rule my life. I'd hate to have to rule all your lives, tell you what to do. Now, as a preacher, I'm supposed to tell you what's right to do and what's good to do. But this is not a tyranny. I'm not a king and you're not my subjects. And you can hear my opinion, go make up your own opinion, do whatever you want to do. But it's between you and God, though. I wouldn't dare to say you go do whatever you want to do. That's foolishness. But you ought to be doing what God wants you to do. And let me say it a simpler way, like the scripture said it. Once you're saved, and I hope I've explained that well enough, what salvation is. But what you ought to be concerned with after you get saved is pleasing God.
Amen.
Remember, I was telling you the story about Adam and Eve and how sin was introduced into the world. The first thing it says about that is that Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now that's where things get kind of... That's where the water gets muddy in this life. Some things are pleasant, not exactly right.
That's right.
I made mention at the funeral yesterday because I knew that there were some folks there that was messing with drugs and stuff like that. I said, listen, a lot of people trade all their joy and all their happiness and they'll spend all that labor working on 20 seconds worth of pleasure.
That's
Talking about that drug use. Spend all their money and all their time and able to afford a drug that's only going to give them about 20 or 30 second high, maybe 40 seconds if they're lucky. I got many family members that mess with that stuff. I go to their homes and I see where they live and how they live. And I've got family members, I see them roll up marijuana cigarettes and smoke those things. And an hour later, they got to do it again. That pleasure, it doesn't last. Never lasts. It always kind of sinks through. You ever been to the beach? And of course, Baptists ain't supposed to go. Baptists go to the coast. Amen. You ever fooled around with that stuff? Of course, you don't got to go. You live around here. You don't got to go to the beach to play in the sand. Amen. It's everywhere. If you ever want to play in the sand, just go jump in the front floorboard of my truck. Be playing. Bring your little buckets and your shovels. There's plenty out to play with right over there. You ever tried to get a hold of that stuff and hold on to it? Just grab two big handfuls of sand. Just hold it. Don't let none of it fall. Slips right through your fingers, don't it? People are that way. They grasping after pleasure. If I just get a hold of this, I have all the fun. But it just slips right through your finger. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you ever got a job and you thought, that this job I got now, it's going to make me the money that I'm going to be set up? And all your expectations just kind of slip through your finger. Seemed like every time I ever got a higher paying job, just something come along that sucked that right up. And that's some of our own doing. And then if it's not our own doing, the hot water heater will bust. Then a refrigerator will go out. And then a young'un will put a blanket that weighs 900 pounds in a dryer and burn that sucker up. Just stuff like that. Amen. But I didn't fuss at her. I said, that's life lesson learned. Amen. Life lesson learned. She'll remember that the rest of her life. Bless her little heart. Just stuff slips through your hands. Well, folks spend their whole life searching for those pleasures. When look back with me in this verse number 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He wasn't looking for the pleasure of himself. Now that's hard to imagine. Especially in this day and time, it's hard to imagine. But listen, the Bible doesn't say that you're not to enjoy yourself. Matter of fact, if you live for God, it's very pleasurable. There's joy. The Bible says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we look at these things and people look and they say, well, and some of it you get on your own, some of it's introduced to you. They put up a commercial. I wish they could just play football without putting the commercials on there. But they don't do it. I think the commercials are the main programming, and the ball games are really the distractions. That's what I think. But at any rate, if you drink Corona, you'll be the most awesome man ever. Of course, it's all lies, but it's kind of presented to you. If you drink Budweiser, man, they got a fellow standing there with a Budweiser. I'm glad they don't let you drink it, at least. Horse pee is what I call it. That's what it looks like. Anybody in here ever had a horse? We grew up with horses. Yeah. And you ride that horse and you ride him till he about falls and that old foamy junk starts dripping. I mean, on a hot summer day, that old foamy, salty mess coming off. Some of you folks got horses, you know what I'm talking about. That's what it looks like on top of that beer. Well, anyway, I hope you remember that next time you drink, if you drink. But they got this guy. I'm going to suck in my gut so I look kind of powerful here. They got this guy and he's standing on the beach. He's got a beer in his hand. And he got some woman that looks just like the bottle. You know, she's got more curves than the country road. She's standing up there and she's holding on to him. So you say, man, I'm going to go drink that brand right there. And after drinking that brand for about 6 or 8 weeks, you're standing out there on the beach with old hairy legs and socks up to your knees and a belly about this big and legs about that big around. That beer goes right to your belly and it makes a complete fool out of you. But somebody told you it was going to make you happy and do all this. Just like the devil told Eve. You're going to be wise and it's going to make you happy and all this stuff. And it never comes out.
Right.
And they show a side billboard with the woman smoking a cigarette. You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
And they don't show you the sign down the intensive care ward when There's lung cancer and emphysema and all kinds of stuff like that. I'll show you that side of it. Why don't they put that part on the billboard? I think they should. I think they should. If they're going to tell one side of it, they got the right. It's America. They got the right to advertise and do what they want to. But they ought to tell both sides. They ought to tell both sides. But look, if you're going to please God and have pleasure yourself, you're going to have faith in God. And listen, I want you to notice what it said about Enoch. It said, before his translation, in other words, and when it means translation, what it means is God took him to heaven. God took him from what he was on this earth, to heaven. And God thought so much of Enoch that God went and walked with him.
Yeah.
Now that'd be something. Yeah. There's a few men in the Bible that had that honor. Adam walked with God, and Enoch walked with God. And Abraham was the friend of God, and he got to walk with God. But there must have been something about Enoch, because God liked him so good that he said one day they was out walking, and then he said God took him. Just took him on. God liked him a whole lot. God was pleased with him. Well, it said he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Enoch must have believed everything that God told him. Just believed it. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about. I've done spent 30 minutes here preaching to you, but really I only got one simple point. And I said all that to say this. What I've done so far is I've explained to you how to be saved. Jesus done that for you. Amen. On the cross. Adam got you in a mess when he sinned. And the only reason you're a sinner today is because Adam was a sinner. You got it from him. You was born here. You don't have to teach people to sin. Just let them grow up. They'll learn how to do it. And that Jesus Christ done the same thing for you on the cross, just in reverse. He died on the cross. He paid for your sin to give you His righteousness. You can be righteous today because of Christ. Not because of what you've done. I'm just as imperfect today as I was the day I got saved. 1975. I've never been able to get rid of it. Sin is with me on a daily basis. Hypocrite, guilty. Everybody says, oh, that church is full of hypocrites. That's exactly right. I'm the chief hypocrite too. Paul the Apostle, the man that wrote most of this New Testament, said, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, he's in a mess if he expects to go to heaven by not sinning, because he's the chief of sinners. I wish people understood that. You don't get religious and go to church every week in order to get to heaven. You trust Jesus Christ, what He done on the cross. But after you trust Him, you've got a life to live.
That's right.
And hopefully, this is the point I'm trying to get across to you. Enoch pleased God, and God translated him on into heaven. His life down here translated into heaven.
Amen.
Now, some things just don't translate. If you're talking about language, some words you can say in one language, you just can't translate. You got to just get close. Well, let me say this. The lives that some Christians are living down here, it just don't translate.
Amen.
Don't translate into heaven. I like to give you the illustration. I give it to you a couple of times. And I really think it's a good illustration, although I don't know if really people understand what I'm thinking or what I'm trying to say. Have you ever been into a mall or something where they got these big glass sculptures and they're standing way up high, but they got water running down them. And you can't really tell there's no glass there. It just looks like waterfall coming down out of the ceiling or something. You ever seen anything like that? I seen that one time and I got the idea of a wall of blood. Jesus Christ, the Bible said He shed His blood for our sins. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what the Bible says. They say, I hate that bloody religion. How come you ain't got a problem with walking dead and you got a problem with the blood of Jesus Christ? How come you ain't got a problem with vampire movies and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Friday the 13th? And how come you got a problem? How come you love that stuff but you got a problem with the blood of Jesus Christ? Give me a break, you whiners. Bloody religion. Bloody entertainment. I think bloody religion is better than bloody entertainment. And listen, it's not your blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you one time. I'm not talking about... It's not blood and gore. It's blood and salvation. God gave His life for your sin. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus died for you once so that you can live. Now, I hope that's understandable. But now that you're saved, if you're saved, you've got a life to live, and that life needs to translate into heaven. I think about that wall of blood. Now, if a man live on this side of it and remains unclean, anything goes. The Bible says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. So the longer a man lives in sin, the worse off he's going to get. So I've seen ladies come and talk to me about their husbands that were lost. And vice versa. Men talk to me about their wives that are lost. They say, well, I'm hoping he'll get better someday. He ain't going to get better. He's going to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
Only way a lost man get better is if he gets crippled up to where he can't do as much devilment. But he's still lost.
Right.
So I think about that wall of blood. When you step through that wall of blood, it takes away sin. Some things won't go through. I mean, you may have a lot of covetousness on this side, but when you step through that wall of blood, that covetousness gets washed away.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people try to pick that stuff back up and try to live. The only way there is to be saved is to realize you're a sinner.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus Christ came for. He didn't come to air condition the world or make it a better place to live. God's going to burn this world. God's going to take us to a better place called heaven. And God's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. The blood of Jesus Christ. God came to seek and to save that which... The sin question is the only question that there is.
That's right.
So people step, they try to pick that stuff up. But when you come through the blood of Christ, the sin convinced you was lost. So when you get saved, that sin's supposed to be washed away. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin, but the Bible says if we sin on a daily basis, we're supposed to confess that and stay as clean as we possibly can. But see, people try to pick that up and run with it, and they think that their lives please God, but some of that stuff not going to translate into heaven. Brother Mike, what you talking about, I know it might have lost you there, but let me just make it as simple as I can. Suppose you stand, and this is just a simple thing, but you can, and I'm going to use this as an example. You may think it's petty, and you may not think it's that big of a deal, but just apply it to every part of your life. Take this one example I'm going to give you and apply it to every part of your life. Suppose you and me stand down on the street corner and we're standing down there with our cigarettes lit. And suppose God was to bring us into heaven right now. You think that cigarette's going to translate? You think it's going to go with you? You think God's got some ashtrays laid around up in heaven? That just messes up the decor.
That's right.
Streets of gold.
Yeah.
Gates of pearl.
Amen.
What's the ashtrays made out of? That don't make sense, does it? Ain't no ashtrays in heaven. See that cigarette? It just don't translate. Suppose you're sitting there watching on the internet something you ain't supposed to watch, and the Lord pulled you up. You think that computer's going with you? You think what you're watching on it, it's not going with you? So, Brother Mike, you're always judgmental. It's not judgmental. It's not my opinion. I'm just trying to tell you that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, and God was happy to bring him with him that day. Is God happy to bring you to heaven right now? Is the life that you're living going to translate into heaven? I thought about saying this yesterday, and I didn't get around to it. I didn't really use my notes for preaching. But I wanted to say this yesterday, and I didn't get around to it. Didn't really feel led to it. But listen, the life you're living right now, would you feel comfortable living that in heaven? Let that sink in a little bit because it's important. It's important, especially this week, because we've been, a lot of folks, not just myself and not just the church, a lot of folks have been touched with death over the last week and had to deal with it and had to think about it. But the thing about that is, the Bible says when we come to these situations, we're supposed to consider ourselves. One of these days it'll be me in a casket. One of these days it'll be my family. One of these days it'll be you. And this life will be gone. And I hope, for goodness sake, that the life that you're living now is really going to translate. I'm hoping it's pleasing God because you're going to be rewarded. Now you're going to heaven because of Jesus' righteousness, but you'll be rewarded by the things righteous you've done in this life. This life is your responsibility. Christ was good enough to take care of your ability to go to heaven, but Christ is not going to live your life. I mean, Christ will live in you. Don't get me wrong about that. But this life is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to please God. And my question to you this morning is really this. Is your life pleasing God? If you do believe in Christ and you are a born-again Christian, does the things that you do on a daily basis, does it promote Christ? Does it uplift Christ? When somebody looks at your life, does it remind them of Christ? Or does it remind them of the Bible? Or does it remind them of church? Or does it remind them of Hollywood? And Hollywood's not going to translate. You may enjoy it. You may do a lot of things with it. You may spend a lot of time with it. But hey, it's just not going to translate. All that divorce and all that illicit stuff and all that perversion, it's just not going to translate. So you can't tell me what to do. I know I can't tell you what to do, but it's not going to translate. You spend your whole life on it and spend all your dedication on it and dedicate your life to it and promote it all you want, but it's not going with you.
Amen.
When you die. It's not going with you. You know, I never seen, and this has been said many times, I never seen a U-Haul at the gravesite.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not taking nothing with you. You can't. You can't do it. The only thing that you can take from this life to the next life is whether or not God was pleased with your life. That's all you can take. Now, you can say that a lot of different ways. But the only thing you're going to be able to take from this life is whether or not you pleased God in this life. You'll be rewarded for it. You don't realize that God already has rewards for you. Those can be lost, or they can be maintained. Would you bow your head for just a few minutes with me? Brother Nathan, you come. Play something on the piano there. I want to give you an